Hi everyone, welcome to the Drunken Whalers, the show where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored. I'm Sarah, and I'm joined, as always, by Claire.
Hi everyone, I'm not drinking a drink tonight because I only have one left and I want to save it for the last one, and I don't want to go buy.
Wow.
I don't want to go buy another whole six pack because I literally only drink during this podcast.
I mean, can't you just, like, go buy a single one?
I don't know.
I don't know. You live in a place that have, like, bodegas.
I mean, yeah, I usually go to the bodega and get, like, a six-pack. I've never actually thought about the fact. Like, I bet you could get a singular, like, beer, but I don't like beer.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't know if they sell just, like, single ciders.
I would say that they probably don't sell single ciders, but they do sell, like, cans of single beer. This is going to be really fascinating. Like, next time I go to a bodega, I'm going to look and be like, wow, I'm just fucking wrong. Sorry, like, in Texas, you only can sell wine in the grocery store, so.
I mean, in Kansas, you can't sell wine in the grocery store because you can only sell it somewhere that, like, is only to sell liquor.
Yeah, no, I can buy wine in the grocery store, and I think that is it. I know there's a wine aisle in the grocery store, but no, like, hard liquors.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyways, let's start this fucking book.
Yeah, both of us just, like, started reading this today, so.
I know.
Definitely very fresh in our minds. I didn't take any notes, and I have an e-reader copy of it, so I can't really flip through it.
I also have an e-reader copy of it and took almost no notes, but that's fine, because guess what? Nothing happens.
Nothing fucking happens in the first half of this book. It's truly incredible.
So let's see. It starts with, because it's e-reader, I read exactly 52% of this book.
I read 47%. Also, we're talking about The Veiled Terror.
Oh, yeah.
Can we say that?
I don't know.
It's a book. It takes place after Death of the Outsider. It is the last piece of canonical Dishonored content. It came out, like, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. Which means this is also, like,
I bought it on release day. Unfortunately.
This also means that this is, like, the last piece of media, like, Dishonored media we're gonna consume.
Rip.
So, yeah, it's actually,
until they make Dishonored 4.
Until they make Dishonored 4. It's, like, really depressing that we have to end on this book.
Well,
like, we could have ended somewhere good.
I feel like, of the books, this is a better one to end on, because I don't really like this book, but I like it, I dislike it less than I dislike the other ones, I think.
I would agree with that. I do dislike it less than the other ones. It's by the same writer, Adam Christopher, and he's still here.
Our dear friend.
Our dear friend, Adam Christopher, please take our calls.
Please, we have some notes.
So yeah, so basically starts on a dream sequence of Billy seeing Dowd for the first time.
Yeah, I do enjoy this. Like, this maybe is, like, the best part of the book.
I would agree with that, which is really just, like, I mean, I guess it's great that it hooks you or whatever, but it's a real downslide from here.
Yeah, it's really downhill from here. But yeah, it's, like, it's kind of been described in the game a bit. It's, like, she was off to kill the people that killed Deirdre, which was, like, I don't know, the fucking Abels or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
But then Dowd killed them first, and then she was like, I guess I'm gonna follow this guy.
Yeah.
And she did.
And she followed him all the way back to his hideout. However, this time in the dream, he catches her in the hideout, and it's not Dowd at all, it's the Outsider. Which is kind of interesting, yeah, considering the Outsider is no more, if you recall our last episode.
If you recall the, like, long discussions we had over what you're supposed to do with the Outsider, sure hope that's important in this book.
So there's the Outsider, and then Billy wakes up, and she's like, wow, yeah, this fucking sucks. Sure, she's like, okay.
The thing about this book is that, like, everything it describes is incredibly wild. So she's like, wow, that was a fucked up dream. I've been having a lot of fucked up dreams lately. So has everybody else in the world.
Yeah. It really sets,
like,
you up. Like,
everyone just has nightmares now.
I know. It's like, yeah. She's like, oh, man. I've always been a dreamer, so it's not a real problem. But, like, everyone in the city is just having night terrors. So it's like, oh, well, that doesn't seem, like, great for your city. Or your world, I guess.
Or for, yeah, every. It seems like things are bad since the void got all fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's fine, probably.
Yeah. So, pretty much Billy wakes up. She's been in Dunwall for like a month now. It's been about a year since Death of the Outsider. So to be clear, everyone has been having night terrors in the entire city everywhere she's been for the past year.
Yeah. Just, in the entire world. She takes takes a drug to try to sleep better.
Yeah, called the Green Lady, which I actually really like as a drug name.
I mean, yeah. I was like, is this just weed? But she chews it, so.
I'm not sure. I was, like, and trying to figure out what it was. I was like, this isn't quite it, but whatever.
Unclear.
But yeah, so it helps her night terrors, and also helps the fact that she's a weird fucked up void arm and eye that hurt every so often whenever she gets too close to Void Hollows, basically.
Yeah, and, like, since the world is kind of falling apart, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking Void Hollows. They're huge. So that's a real problem, and that seems to be our central plot thus far.
That the world is fucked up, yeah.
The world is fucked up, yeah.
So, yeah, the whole first chapter is her being like, the world is fucked up. Great.
Yeah.
Chapter two,
she is going to the apothecary to get more weed.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. What is she doing? I don't know. Yeah.
All right. She's going to the apothecary to get more Green Lady, which may or may not be weed.
I mean, unclear. I was, like, trying to figure out if she was doing something else, but I think that is just what she was doing.
I think that's
she's going
it.
To, like... Yeah, well, I guess she was like, oh, I also have to, like, find stuff out at, like, the Wormwood... Oh, it's in Wormwood Way.
It's in Wormwood
Way.
Our
good friend.
I mean, she does find something out here. I don't think that's the reason she went.
God, everything in this book just happens for, like, no reason. Things just happen.
Yeah. So she goes to Wormwood Way. She's being followed by someone who's bad at it. She's like, fucking whatever, bye.
I'm also gonna say, the thing that pissed me off so much when I read this book is I was so sure this guy was the outsider. Spoiler, it's not the outsider.
Oh, I did not think it was going to be the outsider. Maybe it's because, you told me that, like, he doesn't really show up.
The outsider isn't in this book.
But it's like, I did not imagine that this was going to be him. I thought this was going to be... At first, I thought it was going to be Corvo being purposefully bad to catch her attention.
That would be funny.
That would be really funny.
See, I thought it was going to be like, oh, the outsider is really bad at tailing people, which would also be funny.
That would be funny, and I would accept that because he's never had to tail a person. He never interacts with humans. So
I was just so certain that the outsider would be in this book because I guess I'm biased, but also I think that would be cool. So every time a mysterious character showed up, I was like, that's going to be the outsider. Anyway, clown shoes.
Yeah.
Also, whatever, moving on.
Mm-hmm. So she goes to the apothecary, and she's like, fuck, I gotta wait in line.
Yeah, there's, like, some weirdo who, like, is, like, begging Jacko, the guy who runs the apothecary, to, like, lend him credit, and he's like, no, I'm, like, a semi-illegal apothecary, you can't have credit.
Yeah. So this dude...
Oh, and he wants Attermire solution.
Yeah, he wants Attermire solution. So not only is Jacko like, no, you have no money, he's like, no, no one is making this anymore.
Like, it's worth $5 million because no one makes it.
Yeah. So basically from what Billy can discern from this conversation, the man who really wants Attermire solution is an ex-overseer because there's no more overseers anymore.
I fucking had forgotten that this happened, and it's bazonkers.
It's so wild. So yeah, there's no overseers anymore.
Because Emily was like, I don't think there should be overseers anymore, and then just did that?
Well, apparently she did it after the High Overseer called a meeting and then killed the entire High Council.
Yeah, okay, so much wild shit is just dropped kind of casually as, like, backstory to this book, and it's like, what the fuck?
Like, you can't just dissolve an entire, like, basically a branch of government at this point. And not,
well, she did it, like, basically at gunpoint, because she, like, sent the, like, army to, like, be like, y'all are done.
Yeah. Which, and you also, know, I do think it's kind of fucked up that she sent her entire army in to basically take down this entire overseer branch, which she did basically sanction them to kidnap children into.
Yeah, it's like, yes, overseers bad, should not have overseers. The way that this is described is, like, very worrisome. All the ex-overseers, like, fled, which is why this guy is, like, fucked up. The Oracular Order got, like, all of them got, like, murdered.
They got burned at the stake, which I was like, wow, Adam Christopher, I see that you're hating women again.
It's like, cause it's like, oh, her orders were the same for both of them, but like something weird happened at the Oracular Order, and I'm like, what? And I don't think we find the answer out. Oh,
great. It is just.
I mean, maybe we do, and I forgot. But I'm just like, what is going on?
I know it was like very noticeable to me. The like it was like one paragraph right after the other, but then the one about the Oracular Sisters is just like really gruesome, and I'm like, okay, we didn't need this.
Hey, remember that there was all that like torture stuff in the Return of Dowd for no reason.
I do remember that.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. So yeah, that's all like literal backstory in the middle of this fight in the apothecary.
I know, you just find all this out. Also, it's like, whenever Billy describes like the length of time, she's like, oh, since the fall of the Outsider, and it's like, what does that mean? Is he dead? Is he alive? Who can say? Billy doesn't tell you. I don't know why she wouldn't think about that, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
I hate it. It makes me so fucking angry. I don't understand it as like a writing choice on any level. But that's fine. He's alive, and I guess is just hanging out, and Billy just never thinks about him, I guess.
Well, if I had kept him alive, I'd also try not to think about him.
Fair enough. So let's just assume that that's what was intended.
And move on, yeah. So let's see. Billy is still really just standing there like, I have a fucking headache. Please, just move on. He's not going to give you your goddamn...
buy drugs.
And so the overseer, Woodrow, takes out a knife, and we're like, ooh, a fight. And then he starts carving himself up, and I was like, oh, I guess that okay. Still counts as a fight.
Yeah, and she and Jacko just, like, make eye contact and are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Though also-
It is pretty funny.
It's, like, it's kind of funny, because this is not described gruesomely or anything. It's just like, oh, yeah, he starts cutting into his skin, and that's, like, about- And Jacko's like, don't bleed on my fucking floor.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna charge you if you bleed on my goddamn floor.
Yeah. So Billy's like, I'm just not gonna have fucking time for this. Your knife is fucking weird. I can see it with my void eye that it's a piece of the void. So she just knocks this overseer out.
Yeah, and Jacko's like, okay, cool. I'll give you a discount on your weed now.
Yeah, here's your knife. And it's just a piece of, like, void stone, basically.
Yeah, and Billy's like, okay, if this rando guy can, like, get a piece of the void, then shit's real.
Yeah. So then she gets her weed and she leaves.
Yeah.
And apparently Jacko doesn't even give her that good a discount.
I know, she's, like, so mad about it, which, like, fair.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, I understand that Jacko has to make a business. And also they do describe the fact that Jacko's, like, 7 feet tall, so I'm sure he could have taken care of this on his own.
He seemed, like, ready to take care of it, but I think he just appreciated not having to deal with the weird bleeding guy.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, no, they describe him, that man, as a tall man. He was gonna be fine.
Yeah.
This might be chapter 4, this might be chapter 5. Billy...
It's chapter 4.
All right.
I have it open.
Oh, okay. Like, wow. Chapter 4, Billy's basically like, oh, man, I fucking came to Dunwall to see my friend, Emily Caldwin, and she's fucking out of town. Rude as hell.
Yeah, this also makes me bad, because I wanted them to talk.
I know. It's just such a cop-out to have, like, all of your characters not talk to each other.
I know, it's like
you couldn't just send her a message.
Well, it's like, Emily and Corvo are on a diplomatic mission to Wagon, and it's like, oh, Billy, like, wrote her a letter, but, like, fucking takes a while to get letters there, so.
I mean, I guess, but still.
I know, yeah, it's very annoying. Is this when it starts talking about how the world is, like, broken?
Yeah, this is where it starts talking about the world is broken.
The world is broken, good news.
Yeah. Basically, the whole world has been having, like, void rifts, like, tears in space-time into the void, basically, and not just small ones like the hollows in the video games, but, like, city-wide ones, or, like, ones the size of glaciers.
Yeah, Billy, like, went and saw one in, like, Tivia that was, like, very big, and she didn't like it, which, fair.
Yeah, fair. And she thought that was a glacier, and she's like, well, this seems kind of bad. And then we just get, like, dropped the casual fact that, like, one of these rifts opened up in the middle of a city in Morley, which had a 3-day civil war.
Yeah, because the king and queen of Morley were, like, having a power struggle and had a civil war. And now the city's wrecked and there's a giant rift in it, and this will be important later.
like, this is all such stupid background
It's like, this all, it's like, I don't know, I feel like this should have either happened in the book or, like, we should have been, like, I know we're not that far into it, but, like, we're, like, 20% into the book. I don't know. The way backstory is dropped is just very
dumb.
Yeah, sure.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. It just feels like a lot happened.
I mean, like, I know it's supposed to have been, like, a year since Death of the Outsider, but it's like, you can't really just drop, like, a civil war in a major city and, like, the dissolvement of a government branch in there and be like, that's
you
fine.
You can pick one. I just don't understand why they didn't pick up at the end, like, and pick up, like, 5 hours after Death of the Outsider, except then they would have to explain what happened to the Outsider, which I guess for some reason they didn't want to do.
I guess.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
That's fine. It doesn't matter because Billy calls Emily old friend, and I think that's gay.
Well, yeah, that is, obviously. No one's ever said old friend to anyone without being gay. Just look at...
Correct.
Look at Spock and Kirk.
Look at Magneto and Professor X.
There you go! so obviously that's gay. So Billy's plan A is not working, so her plan B is to go to the Academy of Natural Philosophy.
Yeah, so she's just like, okay, time to go to school.
I mean,
and she just goes there with her weed, I guess.
Yeah. Basically, she uses Anton Sokolov's name to get in, and then everyone is mean to her.
Yeah. She, like, goes in to talk to the head porter, and he's like, you should leave. And she, like, slams her weird arm against the glass, and, like, it gets icy. Because it's always described, her, like, arm stuff is always described as being, like, icy in this book, which I think is interesting, because I don't know why.
It's just not really something that, like... I mean, it's, like, not like she has frost powers or anything.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so she threatens him to go talk to someone. I also am still mad that she was friends with Sokolov, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's dumb. So yeah, basically she gets called into, like, a conference with, like, 7 scholars who all don't believe her. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Those are all fine. And she's like, they're clearly not fine. There was a civil war. And she's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like, it's fine that the world is breaking apart. Don't worry about it. Let's talk about doing phishing surveys. And she stands there for 3 hours and is mad.
Yeah. It's very dumb. So she leaves. Or actually, she threatens someone and leaves.
Yeah, she, like, yeah, she, again, just, like, hits the table with her hand. But, yeah, there's, like, a lot of time devoted to the scene wherein nothing happens.
Yeah. And then she leaves, and the guy who was following her shows up, and he's like, hey, I believe you. She's like, who the fuck are you?
He's some weird old guy and not the Outsider, and I hate him for that.
His name is, like, Dribner.
Yeah, it's Dribner.
He's basically a retired natural philosopher. Retired not in his own terms.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm Professor Emeritus, and, like, Billy's like, so are you retired? And he's like, oh, I'm on sabbatical. And then he's like a very, like, he's, you know that character of, like, just, like, a doddering old man? It's just him.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like, okay, let's go to my secret lab. And Billy's like, okay.
She's like, why the fuck not? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, why the fuck not?
I'm not really sure how he found her, or, like, how, I guess he knows Sokolov? Maybe that's how he knows who she is?
He knows Sokolov, and maybe he's, like, able to, like, I don't know, track her through her, like, void arm or something. Because as we find out, when he goes to his secret lab, he just has, like, a rift in the middle of his lab that he's studying.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah. So Billy's like, wow, what the fuck? You just have this in your basement?
Like, pretty weird, dude. And then they talk about, oh, he's like, don't take drugs here because you need to, like, have your full void powers. Sorry about your headaches, though.
Yeah, and she just, like, agrees to it. And it's, like, not been a problem thus far, so I'm not sure if this is supposed to, like, be leading up to anything.
Don't remember.
Like, it doesn't particularly seem like this is, like, leading up to, like, the fact that she's, like, addicted to this drug or anything. Like, there's nothing about it. It's just, like, she's like, okay, fine, I guess. And then deals.
And then that just is, like, whatever. I guess this is annoyed now.
Yeah. It's, like, it really does feel like you just basically had to get Billy to the apothecary so you could have your fight scene in an apothecary.
Couldn't... Oh, well.
Basically, Drimnir tells her that he thinks the Void World and the world they're in are, like, drifting apart.
And that if that happens, everyone, like, the world ends. Basically, that's bad.
Yeah, basically the best analogy I could think of is, like, if you drop something sticky, well, if you're reading a book while you eat and you drop something sticky on it and the pages glue together, and then you try to peel them apart and there's, like, a little, like, it doesn't really work smoothly, that's what I'm imagining.
See, that's a very compelling, that's a much more compelling description than anything that this book has.
Thank you very much. So yeah, basically the worlds are pulling apart and they're kind of stuck like glue in some places and that's why it's ripping open. Which is, that, yeah, that's pretty fun. That's compelling.
Yeah, that's fine. He has some notes by Sokolov. I don't remember why that's important or why I care.
He does mention that the outsider, with the outsider gone, those who carry his mark are no longer linked to him.
Oh yeah, thanks for that.
I was like, so if it, your fanfic is correct.
Yes, thank you. Very important.
Other than that, he doesn't really say that much. Oh, no, he does. That's a lie. I'm sorry. He says that he thinks someone else is out there causing the void to destabilize faster, and basically ripping the pages open really fast instead of trying to preserve what words are on them.
So rude.
Yeah. And Billy's like, what the fuck? You think someone is doing this on purpose? And he's like, yeah, I just said that. And so that's the next basis of what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, also he mentions our friend Norcross from the fucking whatever book that was. The Dowd book.
Fucking Norcross.
I enjoyed that because reading this again, I was like, oh, the first time I read this, I had no idea who the fuck that was or why it was suddenly like, yeah, this guy's house burned down.
Yeah.
I wonder who did that. But yeah, basically, he's like, okay, you should go fix this. I'm going to stay here.
I mean, in her defense, she does tell him not to go.
That is true. Oh, yeah, and he does, they do some weird thing with the void rift so that she can, like, see where the person doing this is, I guess? Is that what they do?
I think so. I don't understand how it works.
Yeah, I think she, like, I think it's, like, it turned the, I don't know, like, made the void rift, like, a hollow so she could, like, look at it with her eye?
Yeah, I think it's, like, because she's also kind of part of the void, she should be able to, like, sense the interference, which is, like, not a total bullshit reason. Like, that's fine, but
I mean, that's fine. The void can do whatever it wants. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and basically she sees an observatory in Alba, which is the city that had a 3-day civil war.
Yeah, well, she's like, oh, I see, like, a ruined city. There's a tower with a, like, round top, and the guy, Drimnir, is immediately like, oh, that must be Alba, because that's the royal, like, observatory, and no other city in the world has an observatory, apparently.
Or a round top.
Or, like, yeah, a tower with a round top, which I feel like would be a more, like, common architectural construction, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the fact that it's so fucking tall or something. I don't know. It does.
I just don't understand why they couldn't just be like, oh yeah, Billy knows what Alba looks like. She's been there once, maybe.
I also don't know, especially because there is, like, a portion where she does think this doesn't really look like Alba and the Royal the Royal Observatory that I've seen.
Yeah.
So, like, is that setting me up for something? But no, because we go there next, and that's where they are. Yeah. That wasn't a red herring or anything.
Everything is very straightforward.
Yeah. So now we get to go to Alba.
Yeah, she takes a boat. It takes 40 days.
Yeah.
But now it's the month of darkness. I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, we go to Alba, which is in Morley. Everyone in Morley is blonde.
I was here like, isn't this like Ireland?
I think it is, but Adam Christopher says that all the locals are blonde.
Yeah.
But yes, I believe this is supposed to be like the Ireland.
Yeah, but whatever, everyone. Yeah, so all the locals are blonde. Every war from everyone else isn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also,
someone's building a very big bridge.
Yeah. There's also a very weird line where Billy, like, thinks that Morley's system of government is a joint, like, queen and king ruling together, and they're married by power, not love. And she's like, this seems archaic. I was like, what the fuck? You're really gonna put this in here? You are gonna say, like, fuck you, Adam Christopher. Yeah. Like, okay, fine, sure. If this is the thing you want to call out as archaic.
You know, it's... The Empire is fine, though.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, fine, whatever. We'll go. There's someone building a giant bridge. Billy wants to know what it is. She goes into a tavern. They're like, yeah, it's a fucking bridge. And she's like, great. And she goes up to the observatory, but she can't get in. So she goes back to the tavern. It's like, oh, man. I really get the feeling that this is, like, supposed to be... Like, if this were in the Dishonored video game, this would be a section of the city that had several shops and stores in it. Mm-hmm. And you need to bounce around this, like, this section to find how to get through.
Yeah, but
it's... But, like, it doesn't work in a book format.
It really does read like a video game where you, like, have to go to get information, and then you... Because she has to, like, get a disguise to, like, get to where she wants to go.
Yeah, it's like, okay, sure.
She talks to this bartender lady, and I was like, the bartender lady was cool. That's all I have.
Also, I think we should mention that she's not... Billy's not using her void powers because they keep going wonky.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, I guess I just have to continue and assume that this is fine.
Yeah, seems fine. So, yeah, someone's building a giant fucking bridge. And most importantly, the rift is, like, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, so, and, like, the thing about the bridge is the bridge is, like, is supposed to go between Morley and Gristle. So, like, over the ocean?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so where the rift appeared is, like, in between where the bridge is, but the bartender is like, oh, yeah, but, like, they just kept building after that, and they said it was fine, so whatever.
Seems okay cool. to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so Billy's like, cool, I'm gonna go look at this fucking bridge. Gets a disguise, she sneaks in, she stops a murder.
Yeah, she, like, is, like, looking at a map in some, like, foreman's tent foreman's or office, whatever.
Yeah.
And they, like, that's two of the, like, guards of the, like, I don't know.
Basically private security. That's what we found out is that there's a bunch of guards all wearing black who are called the Leviathan Company. And Billy makes a big to-do of being like, that's kind of weird because I know that the system of cops here is the Morley Constabulary, and that's not who these guys in black are.
So, who the fuck, yeah, so that, yeah, they're, like, the weird guards just for this, like, private corporation, which is fine. Then they drag in a union organizer and beat him up.
Yeah. So that's great.
Cool. And he, like, sees Billy, and she's like, don't say anything, and he doesn't say anything, which is nice of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, what, I wouldn't say anything.
I know, she's like, tsh, and then she saves him from getting his, like, the shit kicked out of him, because he's like, hey, like, I want to go talk to, like, Severin, who's the guy who runs this company, and the guards are like, we're just gonna kill you.
Yeah. So, adequate depiction of how companies view unions.
Yeah.
And then they give us, like, Billy saves him, and then he basically gives us a rundown on how, like, unions work.
Yeah, he...
Which is actually really funny, because I was, like, sitting here, it's like, this is three pages of him saying, oh, yeah, like, all of us crew got together and demanded rights, but then they didn't like that. It's like, yeah, that's
yeah, you're right, and work. It seems like they like it.
It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, so he's a nice guy. What do they even talk about?
I don't know. She basically asks him what's going on, and he tells her basically that Severin really, like, after the Civil War, like, managed to get this, like, project going, and the King and Queen agreed because it would really boost their economy, something like that.
Oh, yeah, and he like, tried to get them to agree to it, but then they wouldn't, but then, like, something changed and they did. Was it after the Civil War they agreed to it?
I think so.
Yeah, and like, basically, she like, from this gets this weird sense that he, like, knew that the rift was going to appear before it did.
Yeah.
Which is suspicious, I guess.
Yeah, like, the union planner's like, oh, yeah, there was pretty much, you know, no problem. This is all, like, this has all been a single year of construction. They basically just reworked the plan so that it would also include, like, rebuilding Alba, the city that was destroyed, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They're still bringing people in and hiring.
Yeah, and Billy's like, why would they continue even though there's this weird rift? And he's like, well, it's like, it would be really important for, like, trade if we were the first people to, like, connect with Gristle, and morally would be really important, and whatever.
Yeah,
so, like, And also Severin is, like, studying the void rift, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if the Union dude knows that, but, like, that's the impression I get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Billy's...
I can't remember who delivers what information.
Yeah, because it's all unimportant.
Oh yeah, and since Billy killed the guards, she's like, so what are we gonna do with these bodies? And he's like, I'll take care of it.
He's like, don't worry, we have ways of making things disappear. And he's like, fuck yeah, dude, I like you. Shout out to this one dude.
Shout outs to Mr. Hearn or whatever.
I believe that's his name, yeah. So yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll take care of it. You steal one of their uniforms and you can go up to control, which, according to the map, Billy just saw, that's what they're calling the observatory now. It's just control.
Control. Mm-hmm. Very normal.
Very normal. So she goes in there, and then, like, these whole, like, next three chapters are, like, pointless.
Nothing. It takes so long for nothing to happen, because she, like, she goes in there, she overhears Severin talking to some people.
Yeah.
About, let me see, what's, like, what were they talking about?
The void, basically. I think one of the guys he's talking to says, like, don't worry, we'll continue to, like, we'll take another group into the hollow.
Oh, yeah, and Billy's like, a hollow? I know what that is.
Yeah, and then they all disperse, and Billy's like, I'll discover what's going on. And then the literal only thing she finds out is she follows them up to the top of the observatory, where they are not there. So she's like, where the fuck did I go? She goes back downstairs, discovers, like, hundreds of runes, like, hundreds, and still is like, well, where are they? Where are the people?
Yeah. So, they, like, teleport away somehow, and she's like, seems fake. Oh, other random note that I don't know if this has mattered yet, but she picked up, when she was, like, taking the guy's uniform, she, like, picked up his belt and was like, why is his belt so big? And then she was like, oh, it's because there's these, like, two things hanging off of it. I wonder what those are. I don't know. I'm not gonna look right now.
Yeah, and while we're in the middle of this observatory, she eventually looks, and it's two runes. So she takes them out of her belt. She's like, I guess I'll go back up to the control tower. And then, like, just like what happens in, like, Deathly Outsiders, she basically is, like, transported to a new place.
I think it's so weird that she, like, couldn't feel that they were runes.
Like, yeah, before. Or, like, that you wouldn't look.
Yeah.
See, I was like, stealing a man's outfit, and I was like, damn, his pants are really, like, his pockets are so heavy. I check what the fuck was in there.
Well, because I would be like, are these grenades? I should probably be careful if they're grenades.
Yeah, I was or thinking, like if his wallet's back there and it's that fucking loaded, I am stealing it.
I mean, if you're already stealing his stuff, whatever.
Yeah, like, why not his pants and his wallet?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much, like, it. She basically is transported through the hollow.
And did you? I had already stopped reading by this point, so.
That's pretty much, that is, like, that's it. That's the end of chapter 14 or something.
Great, so that's half the book.
Yeah! So what have we done?
Got, like, bought some drugs, talked to a weird professor man.
Buying the drugs.
And now we're in Morley.
Yeah, so, like, that was, like, a waste of... I mean, I didn't buy it, so it wasn't a waste of paper, but someone somewhere printed it, so it was.
I mean, it's, like, I enjoy Billy's point of view, so at least that's fine. I wish the Outsider was here. I think that would be cool. Anyway.
It's just, like, the...
Well, you have maybe a lot of stuff... I mean, a lot of stuff does happen in the second half of the book, from my recollection, but... I don't know. It's a weird book. Weird stuff happens.
It fucking better, because I'm so goddamn bored at this point. It took me so long to read this.
I know. I kept, like, pausing to read fanfiction for the Untamed.
Yeah, I did so. Too. I was like, I'm not gonna commit. It's, like, it's not even a long book. My e-reader was like, it'll take you, like, 2.5 hours to finish
this. Yeah, it's a pretty short book.
Yeah.
Because nothing happens.
I know. And I was going through it really fast, so my little e-reader kept, like, updating with, like, new times. So by the time I got into the middle, it's like, you have, like, 30 minutes left in this book. Because I just have been, I was like, I'm not reading this. There's nothing in here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty, yeah, pretty much it. I'm gonna be very, like, I guess they're not really, I just feel like this book, like, makes, like, such, like, wilder, like, world-building, like, changes than, like, a book based off a video game normally would, because it's, like, I guess this is canon, like, I guess all this stuff happened.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, I don't know, it's just, like, very weird to me that they decided to publish a book after Death of the Outsider, which, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, the end of an era. You make a choice that ends The Outsider either way.
I think it's interesting they decided to publish a book after Death of the Outsider. It's not about The Outsider, the thing that's that would be interesting to address.
Yeah, this bitch anyway. Isn't even anywhere.
He's so mad. It's fine. But, yeah, I don't know. It's because it's, like, I guess it's, like, getting into, like, what the effect of, like, not having the void is. But it's, like, I guess it's, like, the fact that the world, like, is ending isn't, like, that interesting an answer. Because it's, like, well, the story's kind of over. Like, I guess it's fine if the world, like, it's not fine if the world ends. But, like, why am I supposed to care about this?
There's not much you can do if the world is ending. Like, yeah.
Also, where's Emily? Like, also, if she had teamed up with Emily, that would be so great.
Well, it is illegal for two women to talk to each other in Adam Christie's
Great
book.
Point. Great point.
That is illegal. Great and point. Frankly, would... I was shocked when...
Did she talk to the bartender?
I was shocked when she talked to the bartender, but I was extra shocked when she went to the Academy of Natural Philosophy and four of the scholars were women. I was like, Adam Christopher, are you Damn. Allowed to do this?
So progressive.
I know. So obviously that's why Emily couldn't be involved. He filled up his quota of women.
Great point. I think she briefly appears at the end of this book, probably, because I probably highlighted it. I have priorities, and that they're... I'm glad that Billy and Emily are on good terms, at least. There's,
yeah,
like,
that
one
is
line
nice.
where Billy is like, I wish that I'd been able to talk to Emily, because, like, Emily trusts me, and she would have listened to me. And I was like, aw.
Wow.
Anyway. See, this book was worth it.
It would have been worth it. It would have been extra worth it if Billy should have been like, hey, maybe we should dissolve the Empire. And Emily was like, yeah, seems right.
You already, like, dissolved the Abbey at, like, gunpoint, so whatever. Let's
yeah,
really
like, you
go
really
wild.
Might as well.
Great point.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's 50% of this book.
Stay tuned in 2 weeks for the other 50% of it, I guess.
Yeah. That sounds right. I don't want to read more.
Well, you have, like, 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm just going to read on the fucking train, so whatever.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be on the train? Ow.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah, I'm living large. I'm not taking the bus.
That is quite luxurious.
It's because my parents pay for it.
I figured that was probably the case.
Shoutouts.
Shoutouts to your parents. All right. Well, let's end it here.
All right, where can people find you on the internet?
Just kidding. You can find me on Twitter at SurrealistTrees. And the intro and outro music is Goosebeak Whale by Alps, and I will put a link to that in the show notes.
You can find me on Twitter at LuckyDiceKirby. I'm only tweeting about The Untamed, which is fine.
Sidebar, I am also only tweeting about The Untamed.
And you can find the Twitter or the show at Drunken Whalers. Where hopefully I won't forget to post this episode again, because I keep doing that. Tuesdays keep being, like, really busy for me at work, and I usually just, like, post it when I'm, like, eating lunch, but then I, like, forget.
I know, anyway. Tuesdays have also gotten really busy for me at work. I have to go to extra meetings now. It's like, fuck. I didn't even want to go to the one meeting.
Fucked up.
Yeah. So, alright, now we can end
it. Alright, now we're done.
Bye.